Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Chametz Umatzah Perek Zayin. After the last perek dealing with the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan, the Rambam continues in this perek to discuss the other mitzvah d'oraita performed at the same time, namely Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus from Egypt. There is a third mitzvah, eating the Korban Pesach, which applies only when there is a Beit HaMikdash. This will come up to a limited extent in the next perek, and is discussed at great length elsewhere in the Mishnah Torah. Alongside the mitzvah d'oraita of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Rambam will discuss here several rabbinic requirements of the Seder night, including eating maror and charoset, drinking 4 cups of wine, and reclining during the meal. This still leaves out several familiar practices, including karpas, korech, and halel, which will be addressed in the next perek. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat asei shel Torah, lesaper benisim beniflaot shnasu lavotenu bemitzrayim bilel 15 benisan. Shnemar, zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzaten bemitzrayim, kema shnemar, zachor et yom hashabbat. There is a mitzvah to recount, on the night of the 15th of Nisan, the story of the miracles performed for our ancestors in Egypt. The source of this mitzvah is the pasuk of Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem b'Mitzrayim. The term Zachor means not only to remember, but to say verbally, as we know from the pasuk of Zachor et yom hashabbat l'kadosho, the source, as we saw in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Kaftet, of the mitzvah to speak in praise of Shabbat, in Kiddush, when Shabbat begins, and in Havdalah, when Shabbat ends. Here there arises an immediate question. We saw in Hilchot Kriyat Shema Perek Aleph that there is a mitzvah of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim every morning and evening. So what is added by this mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim one night every year? Achronim point out several differences between the twice daily requirement of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim and the annual mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. We will note 4 differences as they come up in the remainder of this perek, as well as 1 more in the next perek. The Rambam goes on to ask how we know that this mitzvah applies on the night of the 15th of Nisan, as the pasuk of Zachor et hayom hazeh does not mention anything about timing. Continuing in Halacha Aleph, Uminayin shebelel 15, Tamud lomar, v'hikadeta levincha, bayom hahu leimor, ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. בשעה שיש מצה ומרור מונחים לפניך, ואף על פי שאין לו בן. אפילו חכמים גדולים חייבים לספר ביציאת מצרים, וכל המעריך בדברים שאירו ושהיו, הרי זה משובח.
The source that this mitzvah applies specifically on the night of the 15th of Nisan is the pasuk of "והגדת לבנך ביום ההוא לאמור בעבור זה." You shall tell your child on that day, because of this Hashem took me out of Egypt. The word "zeh," wherever it appears in the Torah, is typically understood by Chazal as referring to something tangible, which can be pointed to. Thus, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, referenced in the words "V'higadeta levincha," must apply on the night of the 15th of Nisan, when the matzah and maror, which commemorate Yitziat Mitzrayim, are physically present. Even though the second pasuk says "V'higadeta levincha," suggesting that the mitzvah is specifically to tell one's child about Yitziat Mitzrayim, it is in fact incumbent upon everyone, whether or not he has children. Even great sages, who already know the story, must recount it, and the more he elaborates on the details of the story, the more praiseworthy this is. Here is 1 difference between Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. The first is just a bare mention at the end of Kriyat Shema, while the second involves a detailed recounting, the longer the better.
Halacha Bet. Mitzvah lehodi alabanim, v'afilu lo sha'alu, shnemar v'higadeta levincha, lefi da'ato shel ben aviv melamdo. Ketzad, im haya katan o tipesh, omer lo, b'ni, kulanu hainu avadim, kemo shivcha zo, o kemo eved ze b'mitzrayim. Uva'layla hazeh pada otanu ha-kadosh baruch hu, v'yatzanu lechirut, v'im haya ben gadol v'chacham, modi'o ma she'ira lanu b'mitzrayim, v'nisim sh'nasu lanu al-dei Moshe Rabbeinu, lefi da'to shel ben.
The manner in which the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is told to a child depends on the child's intellectual capacity. If he is very young or not especially intelligent, the parent must explain the story in very simple terms, like by contrasting our freedom to the servitude of a contemporary slave. If the child is older and wiser, then the parent provides as many more details as the child is able to assimilate. Even though other psukim speak of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim as a response to a child's question, the pasuk of Vihigadata Levincha doesn't mention any question on the child's part. This shows that even when the child doesn't ask anything, the parent must initiate the process and explain to the child what Yitziat Mitzrayim was and its importance.
Halacha Gimel. V'tzarich lasot shinui b'layla hazeh, kidei shiiru habanim v'yishalu, v'yomru ma nishana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot, ad shiashiv lahem v'yomar lahem, kach v'kach ira, v'kach v'kach haya, v'chitzad mishane, mechalek lahem klayot v'egozin, v'okrin ha'shulchan milifnehen kodem shiochlu, v'chotfin matza zeh miyad zeh, v'chayotzei b'dvarim ha'elu. Ein lo ben, ishto shoalto, ein lo isha, shoalin ze et ze, ma nishtana halayl haze, vafilo hayu kulam chachamim. Haya levado, shoel la'atzmo, ma nishtana halayl haze.
Even though, as we just saw, the mitzvah of Sipur applies even if there was no question at all, we must try to pique the child's curiosity by doing things differently from usual on this night, so that the child will ask why this night is different, ma nishtana halayl haze. Specific ways in which we do things differently include handing out snacks in the middle of the meal and taking away the table from each person before the meal is served. At the time, a meal was typically eaten not at one big table like nowadays, but rather each person had his own small table in front of him. The Gemara also speaks of chotfin matzot, grabbing matzot, as a way of preventing children from falling asleep at the Seder. The Rambam seems to understand this as a type of game which keeps the child alert, but the Ravid has a different understanding. Chotfin is a metaphor, and the statement just means that we eat quickly in order to complete all of the mitzvot of the Seder while the child is still awake. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the understanding of the Ravid lahalacha. At the end of this halacha, the Rambam adds a new point. Even if there is no child, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim must be initiated through the question of ma nishtana halayla hazeh. In the absence of a child, this can be asked by one's wife, or by his peers eating with him. And even if someone is eating alone, he must ask himself, ma nishtana. This is the second difference between Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Zichirah does not require any prelude, while Sipur is meant specifically to be told as an answer in response to a question.
Halacha Dalad. V'tzarich lahatchil bignut ulesayim b'shevach. Keitzad, matchil u'mesaper shebatchila hayu avotenu bimei terach u'milafanav, kofrim, v'to'in achara hevel v'rodfin avodazara, u'mesayim b'dat ha'emet shekervanu hakadosh baruch hu lo v'ivdilanu min ha'to'im v'kervanu liyichudo. V'chein matchil u'modia shavadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, v'chol hara'a shigmalunu, u'mesayim b'nisim v'niflaot shenasu lanu u'v'cherutenu. V'hu shiyidrosh me'arami oved avi, ad shiyigmor kol ha'parasha. V'chol ha'mosif u'marich bidrash parasha zo, harei ze mishubach.
A third difference between Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is that Sipur requires a certain structure, referred to in the Mishnah as Matchil Bignut u'mesayim b'shevach, begin with defamation and ending with praise. What does this mean? The Gemara mentions a machloket on this point between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel understands that Gnut refers to being slaves in Mitzrayim, while Shevach refers to our eventual liberation. Rav understands that the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim must be included in a broader historical context. Gnut refers to the fact that our ancestors were idol worshippers, while Shevach refers to the fact that we now serve Hashem. The Rambam says in the Salacha that we accept both opinions and tell both the specific story of the transition from slavery to freedom and the more general story of being elevated from idol worship to serving Hashem. The specific story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is told through the Midrash on the Psukim of Arami Oved Avi, the brief recap of Jewish history from Yaakov Avinu until the entry of the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, which is included in Mikra Bikurim, the declaration made by the person who brings Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. The text of the Midrash is meant to be a starting point, and the more one expands on the statements and ideas of this Midrash, the more praiseworthy he is.
Halacha Hei. Kol mi shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu b'lel 15, lo yasa edei chovato. Ve'elu hein, Pesach, Matzah u'Maror. Pesach, al shem shepasach hamakom al batei avotenu b'mitzrayim, shnemar v'amartem zevach Pesach.
Merorim al shem shemeroru hamitzrim et chaye avotenu b'mitzrayim. Matza al shem shnigalu udvarim ha'elu kulan hein hanikrain hagadah.
This is the fourth difference between Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. In addition to telling the story itself, an integral part of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is to explain the meaning of the three mitzvah objects on the table, namely the Korban Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror. Even in the absence of the Korban Pesach nowadays, it is still necessary to explain why we have this mitzvah and what it commemorates. Specifically, the Pesach relates to the skipping over of Jewish homes during the plague of Makat Bechorot, the Maror brings to mind the bitterness of our ancestors' servitude, and the Matzah recalls our redemption. The Rambam summarizes not only this halacha, but everything since the Manishtana Halayla Hazeh of Halacha Gimel with the statement that all of these topics are referred to collectively as Haggadah. Note that the Rambam uses the term Haggadah not as we use it, to refer to the entire Seder from start to finish, but rather to refer to the content of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, corresponding to what we call Magid. This concludes the first half of the perek about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim proper, and now the Rambam transitions to the mitzvot derabanan of the Seder. Halacha Vav explains the main idea which provides the motivation for these mitzvot.
Bechol dor vador chayav adam laharot et atzmo, ki'ilu hu ba'atzmo yatza ata mishibud mitzrayim, shenemar v'otanu hotzi misham, v'adlavar ze tziva b'torah, v'zacharta ki eved hayita. Klomar, ki'ilu ata ba'atzmacha hayita eved, v'yatzata lechirut v'nifdeita.
In every generation, even though Yitziat Mitzrayim is ancient history, one must do things which demonstrate laharot that he has just left Egypt. This is learned from two psukim in Parshat Va'etchanan. The first is Ve'otanu hotzi misham, and the second is Ve'zacharta ki eved hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim, both of which speak of Yitziat Mitzrayim as something experienced by generations of Jews who lived even long after the actual historical events. Note the difference between the Rambam's formulation and the one we are familiar with from the text of our Haggadah. We say, Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo, one must see himself in this manner, which is purely a matter of self-perception. The Rambam says, by way of introduction to the following halachot, that one must demonstrate through concrete actions the feeling that he has just experienced Yitziat Mitzrayim.
Halacha Zayin. Lefichach, kishesoed adam balayla hazeh, tzarich lechol v'lishtot v'hu mesev derech cherut. V'chol echad v'echad, bein anashim, bein nashim, chayav lishtot balayla hazeh arba'a kosot shel yayin, ein pachot mehen. V'afilu ani hamitparnes min atztaka, lo yifchetu lo me'arba'a kosot, shiur kol kos mehen rivi'it.
Therefore, the Rambam begins with the word lefichach to connect what he is about to say with the content of the last halacha. There are two rabbinic expressions of our freedom which are performed at the Seder. One is reclining while eating and drinking, heseba, in the manner of one who is free. The other is that everyone, man and woman, must drink four cups of wine, arba kosot, each one at least the size of a rivi'it. Even a pauper who relies on charity must be provided with four cups of wine, something which under ordinary circumstances would be considered a luxury. Note that the Rambam's specification of women only regarding the arba kosot, after he mentioned earlier the requirement of heseba, implies that women are not obligated to recline, and he makes this explicit in the next halacha, which lists many details of heseba.
Halacha chet. Afilu ani sheb'Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyasev. Isha eina tzricha haseba. V'im isha chashuvahi tzricha haseba. Uven etzel aviv v'ashamash bifnei rabo tzrichin haseba. Aval talmid bifnei rabo eino mesev. Ela imken natan lo rabo reshut. V'asibat yemin eina haseba. V'chein hamesev al orpo o al panav ein zo haseba. V'matay tzrichin haseba bishat achilat kazait matzah uvishtiat arba kosot ha'elu. U'shar achilato u'shtiato im hesev harezem mishubach v'im lav eino tzarich.
To understand the details of Heseba, recall that the manner of eating in the time of the Talmud was for each participant in a meal to recline on a cushion and eat from a small personal table. A pauper typically did not eat in this manner because he lacked the means for formal, relaxed eating. A woman also typically did not recline, but for societal reasons relating to modesty.
Therefore, on the Seder night, when the poor are required to experience the transition from bondage to freedom as much as anyone else, they too must recline when they eat. But even a woman who experiences freedom all year round does not recline, so there is no reason for this to change on the Seder night. However, a woman who is accustomed to recline all year because of her elevated social status, an isha chashuva, must do so at the Seder as well. In general, one doesn't recline in front of someone to whom he must show honor, and so a student does not recline when eating with his Rebbe, unless he gets permission from him. But a son may recline in front of his father, and a servant in front of his master, as a father and master typically allow this, despite the obligation of the son and the servant to defer to them. Reclining must be to the left, not to the right. The Gemara gives two reasons for this. The first is that reclining to one side incapacitates the hand on that side of the body, and the right hand needs to be free to use for eating. According to this reason, a lefty would recline to his right. But the second reason for reclining to the left is that this is meant to prevent food from going down the windpipe rather than the esophagus, which is a choking hazard. Hence, based on this reason, the Rama rules that even a lefty must recline to the left. Reclining forward or backward is similarly unacceptable, as this is not the normal manner of reclining. Minimally, one must recline while eating the matzat mitzvah we discussed in the last parak, and while drinking the four cups of wine mentioned in the last halacha. Reclining during the rest of the meal is praiseworthy but not necessary. Two important halachic points regarding Heseba. First, the Ravya, one of the German Balei HaTosfot, ruled that the entire institution of Heseba doesn't apply nowadays, even in his time many centuries ago and certainly in our time, because of the change in eating habits. We eat together at one table, sitting on chairs, rather than reclining on cushions, and reclining to the left while eating is unnatural and forced. While we don't follow this opinion and we do recline, the Rama writes that women have the custom to rely on the Ravya, and so even if women today are considered chashuvot and should need to recline, they refrain from doing so based on this opinion. This is something of a strange compromise, as there seems to be no reason for women to rely on the Ravya while men do not. In practice, while some women follow the custom not to recline, many women in both Ashkenazi and Sephardi communities perform the mitzvah of Heseba as much as men. For an extended discussion of this topic and others related to women at the Seder, the listener is referred to the website www.deracheha.org devoted to the general topic of women and mitzvot. Secondly, while the Rambam says that Heseba is minimally required during matzat mitzvah and the four cups of wine, he never says that either of these must be repeated if one neglected to recline while consuming them the first time around. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the more machmir view of other Rishonim that one must repeat the eating of the matzah and the drinking of the four cups in this case. Later poskim accept the view of the Shulchan Aruch regarding matzah, but differ regarding the four cups. Some, like the Chazon Ish, are machmir to repeat any one of them drunk without reclining. Others, including the Aruch HaShulchan, are makil not to repeat any of them. And some follow the compromised position of the Rama to distinguish between the cups. The first two must be repeated, as even extra wine consumed after those cups may be seen as ordinary drinking in preparation for the coming meal. But the last two cups should not be repeated if they are drunk without reclining, as the Rambam writes in Halacha Yud that no additional wine should be drunk after the third cup, except for the fourth cup. The reason for this is twofold. First, wine drunk after the meal induces fatigue, and one shouldn't fall asleep before saying Hallel. And second, one shouldn't drink more wine than necessary after eating the afikoman. Thus, even if one drinks the third or fourth cup without Heseba, he should not drink the cup again, due to these concerns. Halacha Tet. Arba kosot elu tzarich limzogotan kidei shetieh shtia areva. Hakol lefi hayayin ulfi dat hashote. Velo yifchot ba'arbatan meirvi'it yayin chai. Shata arba kosot elu miyayin sheino mazug, yatsa yedei arba kosot, velo yatsa yedei cherut. Shata arba kosot mizugin bevat achat, yatsa yedei cherut, velo yatsa yedei arba kosot. Vim shata mikol kos mehen rubo yatsa. In the time of Chazal, ordinary wine, as we drink today, was considered especially strong, and wine was diluted with water before drinking. The exact proportion of water to wine varied from person to person and from wine to wine. In the case of the four cups at the Seder, the dilution should be no less than one part wine to three parts water, that is, at least 25% wine. Thus, since each cup needs to be a revi'it, the four cups together must contain at least a revi'it of unadulterated wine. What follows in the Rambam is a somewhat cryptic line. He says that if one drinks four cups of unadulterated wine, then he has fulfilled drinking four cups, but has not fulfilled cherut. Conversely, if he drinks four cups of properly diluted wine, but drinks them all at once, then he has fulfilled cherut, but not the mitzvah of drinking four cups. What does this mean? The Briska Rav in the Chidushei HaGriz al HaRambam here explains that there are two distinct parts of the mitzvah of the Arba Kosot. One is exactly what the Rambam wrote in Halacha Vav. As a way of demonstrating that we have left Shibud Mitzrayim, we drink four cups of wine. This is what the Rambam refers to here as Cherut. But in addition, the cups are not inserted into the Seder at random points. Each is a kos shel bracha, which is joined with some other bracha in order to lend that other bracha greater significance, as the Rambam explains in detail in Halacha Yud. The first kos is the wine of Kiddush. The second is said together with the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu after Magid. The third is the cup added to Birkat HaMazon. And over the fourth, we say Hallel and the extended bracha afterwards, which we recognize as Nishmat Kol Chai, from Shabbat and Yom Tov morning. This element of being a kos shel bracha is what the Rambam refers to here as being yotzei arba kosot. So the Rambam means, one who drinks four cups of unadulterated wine, each in its proper place, is yotzei the aspect of arba kosot, because even unadulterated wine is valid for a kos shel bracha. But this isn't a fulfillment of cherut, because only drinking properly diluted wine is a demonstration of one's appreciation of freedom. On the other hand, someone who drinks four diluted cups in one sitting has certainly demonstrated cherut, but he has not fulfilled the aspect of arba kosot, because he did not drink each cup as a kos shel bracha at the appropriate time during the Seder. As the Griz shows, other Rishonim, like the Balei HaTosfot, considered the arba kosot purely as kosot shel bracha, without the additional aspect of cherut, and therefore they consider the possibility that one person can make the borei pri hagafen on each cup and drink on behalf of others, just as is done with other kosot shel bracha like kiddush on Friday nights and havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. The Rambam very clearly rejects this, as he emphasized in Halacha Zayin that every individual must drink four cups. Another possible nafkamina raised by the Griz is the exact amount which must be drunk from each cup. In a koshel bracha, the general rule is that one must drink melo lugmav, a cheekful, or most of a revi'it. In the last line of this halacha, though, the Rambam says that one must drink rov kos, most of the cup, seemingly no matter how large the cup is. As the Griz explains, since the mitzvah of cherut is to demonstrate one's freedom, this is done by drinking four cups, not merely four minimal amounts of melo lugmav. There is a general din of rubo kikulo, the majority is considered the equivalent of the whole, and therefore most of each cup suffices. But fundamentally, the mitzvah of each cup is to drink the entire cup, very much unlike the usual requirement of melo lugmav for a kosher bracha. While the Shulchan Aruch rules that b'di'eved, one is yotzei even if he drinks only a melo lugmav of each cup, he brings the opinion of the Rambam as well. The Mishnah Berurah and other achronim recommend that one use a relatively small cup, containing a revi'it or a little more, so that by drinking most of a revi'it, he has also drunk most of the cup and fulfills the mitzvah even according to the Rambam. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes that each of the Arba Kosot gets its own bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen. Interestingly, this is the psak of the Rama and the practice of Ashkenazim. But the Shulchan Aruch rules that Borei Pri HaGafen is only made separately on the first and third cups, and this is the Sfardi practice. We summarize briefly the remainder of the perek about Charoset and Maror, and we'll elaborate further on these in the next perek. Charoset is a mitzvah midrabanan, meant to remind us of the cement used by our ancestors during their servitude. Its ingredients are dates, figs, or raisins, together with vinegar and various spices. The Rama specifies that the spices should be cinnamon and ginger, and lists other fruit which are traditionally included in charoset, including apples, nuts, and pomegranates. The requirement to eat maror is not an independent mitzvah midoraita, but rather a detail of how the Korban Pesach is supposed to be eaten. Without the Korban Pesach, there is no mitzvah doraita to eat maror at all, unlike matzah, which has a separate pasuk of Be'erev Tochul Matzot, mandating it even in the absence of Korban Pesach, as we saw in Perek Vav. And so eating maror nowadays is a mitzvah midrabanan. In Halach Yod Gimel, the Rambam quotes from the Mishnah a list of five plants which qualify as maror, all of which are leafy vegetables. The first of these is chazeret, or romaine lettuce. The Shulchan Aruch writes that this is the preferred form of maror, and only in the absence of it should one take any of the other four items in the list. Many Ashkenazim have the custom to use chrein, horseradish root, as maror. This likely originated, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, from the scarcity of leafy vegetables in the colder climate of northern and eastern Europe during the late winter and early spring. Several objections have been raised by rabbinic authorities throughout the centuries to the use of horseradish root as maror. It is most likely not included in the Mishnah's list, even though some identify it with tamcha, the third item in the list. It is a root, while maror is supposed to consist of leaves or stalks. The taste is not bitter, mar, but rather sharp, charif. And finally, eating a kazait of horseradish root in the requisite time of kedei achilat pras is extremely difficult for most people to do. With the greater availability of romaine lettuce today, contemporary poskim recommend using this as maror. Some eat a combination of romaine lettuce and horseradish. This was reportedly the custom of Rav Soloveitchik, as a way of following the halachically preferred option, while also showing deference to a tradition which is many centuries old.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.